If everybody's ready, we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to call a meeting to order at this time. I'd also ask that as a courtesy to all that you ensure that you have turned off your cell phones and pagers. Each director received a notice of this board meeting. The public meeting notice was properly posted as required by law. Director Trent McKnight indicated that he would not be present for this meeting. Additionally, I would ask Director Adams if you would give us kind of an update on your security committee meeting. Can you do that this time?
Sure, I'd be pleased. First, we had a very informative and constructive meeting of the Security Committee on the 14th of July, I guess, up in Granbury, attended by Robert Christian, John Breeden, Grady Barr, myself, and we were pleased to have Presiding Officer DeCluet and Sal Zaccanino meet us there. Phil and his guys did an excellent job of putting a package together. Daryl Spiewak, our security officer, we toured the surface water treatment system plant and viewed the security elements there, as well as the DeCordova Dam, which contains Lake Granbury. Viewed the dam, then into the BRA conference room there, and Daryl Spiewak gave us an overview of the security situation, the levels of threat assessment, I should say. We met, by the way, and I won't go into detail because we met in executive session throughout from the time we started the meeting until we concluded shortly afternoon. We also had a presentation by Chris Denny, Lake Ranger at Granbury, gave us a very good overview, and I commented then, I'll comment now. Our lake rangers around Granbury and Possum Kingdom and Limestone and wherever they are, they really cut a positive path and image for the Brazos River Authority. I see them every day just outside where I live, and the guys just do, and the gals do a great job up there of really putting the best and good face on Mission Granbury. The other item we did visit, too, was the intake system at Lake Granbury, where the water's taken in, shipped over to the SWATS plant, and then turns out about, I forget the output there, but it's capability of about 1 million gallons a day to supply Hood County, Johnson County, and a few outlying areas as far as potable water is concerned. Lake Granbury, I'll just comment on this, is down about almost 3 feet now, and if you live up there, as Director Ward and I do, is you catch hell every day about water levels. But we just keep looking to PK to give us more water, and then we'll be happy down there. Anyway, but that's about it, Chris. It was a good meeting, I think, very constructive, but it's a lot more meaningful to go and touch and feel the systems as it is to watch it on PowerPoint. But overall, very good for our committee report. That's it.
Well, thank you very much. That was a very informative committee meeting and had a very good time. At this time, we've set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments here should fill out one of the cards provided at the table outside the door to the boardroom with your name and contact information on it. We encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts. Be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the board cannot deliberate or discuss issues that are not posted on the meeting notice. That is not our requirement. That is the state law. This board is limited in its ability to participate in discussions or deliberate by the provisions of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act authorizes a government body to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting and provide comments. However, the board may not deliberate or act on any matters which have not been specifically posted in the agenda. In an effort to provide everybody an opportunity to speak, we request that each presentation be limited to 3 minutes. I have two cards. First will be Michael Frank, PK Land Divestiture, representing the April 9th wildfire victims. Mr. Frank. Ms. Frank, if you could please come up to the podium so we can.
In relation to the 14 BRA leaseholders at Possum Kingdom Lakes whose homes and properties were destroyed by the April 9th, 2009 wildfires, I ask for a delay in the signing of the contract agreement between the BRA and the Patterson Group in reference to the sale of the leases referred to in House Bill 3031. ask for this delay so we may have time to pursue negotiations in which we can reach a fair and equal price for our leases based on the current reappraised value by the Palo Pinto Appraisal District, the same entity that is used to set the values of the other leaseholders' properties not affected by the wildfires. While the Patterson Group has offered to lower the percentage to be changed to the 2008 county appraisal from 90% to 60%, the fire victims would calculatedly pay for our leases that would still calculate and us paying over double our value within reference to the county reappraisal after the fire. The Patterson Group's main reasoning not to allow the fire victims to be calculated at the after-the-fire market value is that the BRA will not lower his price accordingly. We have since negotiated, or we have since attempted to negotiate with the Patterson Group in good faith as late as this past Thursday morning, July 23rd, in Graham. At that meeting, the fire victims offered to pay 100% of the county reappraisal after the fire, or even 40% of the 2008 appraisal. A response to decline and change in reference to the meeting from the Patterson Group was not given until the next day, Friday, at 4 p.m. Due to the late time, we finally received the decision from the Patterson Group. We were left insufficient time to proceed with any efforts prior to this meeting today. We were also told by the governor's office on Friday, July 24th, at 7:30 p.m. that it was basically an oversight that in House Bill 3031, there was made no contingent of an act of God or natural disaster included in House Bill 3031. If the situation was reversed and 1,500 leaseholders' properties were burned and destroyed and 14 were not, I don't think I would have to be here today making this request. Are the 14 fire victims' leaseholders' rights to fair and equal treatment any less than the rights of 1,500 leaseholders? We ask the BRA board to respond to our request to delay the contract signing on the basis that there's still the premise not to be ignored of just fair and equal treatment in reference to the method used to calculate the price of the leases for the 14 wildfire victims. We also ask that the paying the equivalent of 40% to the 2008 county appraisal be taken into consideration. These amounts would still be well in excess of the county reappraisal after the fire. We make this request to the BRA solely based on right, fair, and equal treatment of the 14 fire victims. Now, I fully understand that the contract will still be signed today despite this request, and I will, however, continue to try to find a way to arrive at a fair price for the fire victims' lease. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. I also have a card from Mike Foster, Jr., concerning agenda item number 16, representing BASA Resources Incorporated. Mr. Foster.
Good morning. In 2003, Basa Resources became customers of the BRA after acquiring substantially all of Kerr McGee's assets in Stevens County and hiring their local employees. Prior to divesting themselves of their Stevens County assets to us, Kerr McGee negotiated the sale of their West Central Brazos distribution system to the BRA for less than 5% of the system's replacement cost. Our oil production, which necessitated and paid for the system, had begun its perpetual decline. And while the needs of local municipalities grew, and therefore it was determined that the best and most economic use of the system would be to replace declining industrial volumes with municipal volumes. Thus, the BRA was the ideal successor in ownership of the system. The arrangement was made with the understanding that Kerr McGee and its successors would pay 1.5 cents per barrel transportation cost. In addition to its purchase of the system rate, water from the BRA, the BRA would operate and maintain the system. The BRA would add system volumes, which would, in the future, offset operating costs as our volumes, and in turn, revenue generated by those volumes would decline in the future, along with our oil production. Since the BRA's acquisition of the system, net losses have mounted for a variety of reasons, including most notably the lack of new volumes and an electric contract which was locked in near historic highs. Recently, things seem to be looking better for the system, as the BRA's electric rate was reduced by 15% to 20%, and after we alerted the BRA staff to the fact that the prevailing rates were significantly lower than the BRA's contracted rate, and an agreement was struck between the BRA and the Stevens County SUD, which would at least double the system's throughput in a year or so when that water begins delivery. Agenda item 16 of today's meeting pertains directly to this system and the BRA's request for the Board of Directors to authorize the BRA to, among other things, increase the current transportation rate imposed on the system's customers in an effort to reduce the economic losses which the BRA has incurred since acquired the system. The proposed increase roughly doubles the current rate in 1 year and seeks annual increases thereafter of roughly 20%. On the surface, this may seem like a good business. However, the proposal omits several key facts, which when considered, remove all reason and logic from the proposed plan. The plan assumes that the BRA has a contractual right to impose such an increase and that the plan applies a consistent standard to each customer, each of which I submit is not the case. However, these assumptions pale in comparison to the assumption that the customers will stay on the system after such an increase. A final nail in the reasons coffin is that the volume doubling multi-decade contract with the Stevens County SUD has absolutely no transportation cost to offset the burden of the already struggling system or even cover the actual cost related to the delivery of its water. We cannot imagine a further departure from this standardization than bringing in such a significant customer with absolutely no transportation charge, all while citing standardization of rates as justification for more than doubling the rates of the existing customers. The addition of the Stevens County SUD volumes will roughly double the expenses incurred by the system with zero offsetting revenue. This, I suppose, is fine if you can get the industrial customers on the system to pick up the slack. However, let's consider the feasibility of that plan. The system currently has three noteworthy customers, of which we are by far the largest. Another of the three is currently bankrupt, a fate that will surely contribute to by high cost and one we wish to avoid. As the largest customer of the on that system, we currently account for roughly 70% of the system's volumes and provide a similar amount of the system's revenues. As an operator of mature oil wells with very slim margins, our assets cannot bear the burden of the proposed increase. And even though we are fighting the good fight for our country and communities we operate in, we do not receive any outside grants or stimulus, and therefore, if our assets aren't profitable, we do not survive. Fortunately, we have several alternatives available to us, one of which we demonstrated to the BRA staff and is available to us at roughly 2 cents a barrel. Either way, if we fail or leave the system for an alternative, the system would lose the majority of its cost coverage. The remaining customers of note would be a non-paying municipality and two very small oil and gas producers, assuming one survives its current financial distress and that they both don't explore and identify a more efficient option. There's no way possible that the small producers could cover the significant system cost, and therefore all of the system's cost would end up falling, into the system rate calculation, which affects most every municipal customer on the BRA, among others, to the tune of several dollars per acre foot. For example, the net loss anticipated by the BRA on the system this year is more than twice the number of the system rate acre feet to be sold, providing more than $2 per acre foot on the system rate system-wide. If we depart from using the system, this amount will increase dramatically, impacting not only local customers, but every system rate customer on the entire BRA system. We are prepared to negotiate an increase in our current transportation rate and ask that the board defer a decision on the transportation rate increase contemplated in agenda item number 16 today, and instead ask that the BRA negotiate a more reasonable rate structure which would not trigger our departure from the system. This is the only way to provide real progress in offsetting the system's expenses. After all, the resolution as presented, while it appears to help in reducing net losses, will actually dramatically increase net losses by forcing us, the source of the vast majority of the system's revenue, to leave the system. A reduction from the proposed rate should not be difficult for the BRA to achieve, as the current proposal relies on estimates prepared by the BRA prior to the reduction in the electrical cost, which were negotiated between the BRA and Constellation Energy during the last few months. Considering that considering that had the past rate been adjusted annually for inflation since its inception in 2002, the current rate would only be 1.8 cents per barrel. To achieve the rate contemplated in Agenda Item 16 today, the rate would have to have been adjusted annually at more than four times the inflation rate since its inception in 02. This further reinforces the egregiousness of the current proposal rate proposal. Other industrial customers of the BRA who have provided infrastructure to the BRA all experience rates which reflect the significant value that their infrastructure has added to the system, and we believe the same is appropriate in this case. This system's replacement cost was more than $20 million at the time it was acquired by the BRA for $500,000. This deal represented a case of private industrial infrastructure being turned over to meet public needs at a value which would alleviate the municipalities from having to outlay all the capital otherwise required to meet such needs, while giving us the ability to retain access to the declining volumes necessary to continue status quo operations. If Agenda Item 16 is passed today, not only will all the BRA's system rate customers suffer, but a precedent will have been set that will surely reduce future generosity of this kind on the part of the industry in the future. We greatly appreciate your consideration for our concerns as you address Agenda Item 16 today, and ask that the Board defer a decision on the recommended proposal in favor identifying a strong solution for the BRA and all of its customers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Seeing no other cards, I'm going to move forward with the agenda. I didn't get it, Mike. You want to speak? But if you would, we know who you are. Go ahead and speak. If you would, fill out a card afterwards.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mike Patterson.
I might have put it in my pocket, but just a real quick, I just want to say thank you. I don't know if I'll have the opportunity to say that later on, and I don't want to be presumptuous on how you may vote, but I do appreciate the opportunity to have gotten as far as we are here today. I want to compliment management, and I want to compliment the consultants, and I want to compliment the legal representation that you all have. I mean, it's top-notch, and nothing less than brilliant, and they've really carried the ball, and I've just tried to keep up over the last 3 months. It is very unfortunate on the West Side deal, and I don't really have an answer. What we're trying to do is just propose something that reflects what our cost is, and I want to make sure that everyone understands that option would be available not to just these 14, but whoever had the unfortunate situation of losing their house between now and closing, our closing, we would extend that same option to any of those folks. With one last thing, Jared Cox is our project manager, and from here on out, all the tough questions will be addressed to Jared Cox. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
If you could go ahead and fill out a card and turn that in so we can have the record. Thank you. Okay, barring any others, we will go ahead and move forward.